All right, and welcome to Intentional Living Center, everybody. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're here live today, and we got a really interesting look at life from the standpoint of what we call self-sabotage, the things that we do in our life that sort of shoot ourselves in the foot. And I was thinking about the fact that many of us do this by having a lack of goals in our life. We have bad habits. It could be procrastination, maybe clutter or distractions in your life. You know, life is so very short, and I believe that God wants you to thrive. You know, I was reading from the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 1. It talks about, you know, a person who's following God and knows God's laws is like a tree planted deeply next to a water, you know, with the roots going deep and thriving and growing. And I think that's what God intends for us. And yet, I read this last week that human beings are the only creation of God that never live fully up to their potential. Have you ever seen a tree that doesn't live up to its potential? I mean, it grows halfway and it says, yeah, that's enough. You know, it's always going to grow as far as it can, as high as it can, based on the nutrients that it gets. But human beings, sometimes we grow a little bit, then we stop. We just stop. We do it because of bad attitudes, unforgiveness, lack of goals, bad habits, distraction. I don't want to wear you down with all of the bad news. But the fact is, God has something better for us. He wants us, He intends for us to thrive. I believe that. But how do we turn intention into reality? What is it that you find yourself, I don't know, what is it you do, or an attitude, or kind of a step forward, then two steps back kind of deal? 888-888-1717. Some of the things I've seen, fear, failure, that's huge. People who can't say no, they get distracted doing the wrong things. They're busy, but distracted. Inability to think carefully and ask the right questions, I think, is another thing. Inability to think carefully, just responding emotionally to life. I think we judge ourselves and others too critically sometimes, or a situation, and we take a position way too soon, and then we get stuck with a position that really either isn't biblical or well thought through or reasoned, and that gets us into trouble. Unrealistic expectations, because as we know, expectations minus reality equal disappointment. And then I think constantly comparing ourselves with others. We get out of focus, you know. And intentional living is all about two basic things. If it's true that God wants us, intends for us to thrive, we better have bigger and better goals and better habits. Allowing the Holy Spirit to work through our lives, to be rooted in the right place, getting the nutrients from the right source, and then setting those goals and stretching. How about you? How do you self-sabotage? 888-888-1717.
You know, I've been struggling with an addiction for about 30 years, and there's been times that I've been free, and I turned around and went back to it. You know, I blame circumstances, people, even the devil. And what I'm coming to learn is that, you know, I have nobody to blame but myself. It holds me back from my relationship with family, my children. I would like to use a comparison to one putting her hand on a hot stove. You would think that if you'd done that once and got burnt, that you wouldn't do it again. But I find myself repeating the same destructive behavior. I really can relate to the Apostle Paul when he says that he did things that he didn't want to do, and the things that he wanted to do, he never done. So that's my prayer, you know, is God, save me from me, because I am, and I realize that I am be my own worst enemy.
Boy, great insight. That's an outline for a message, Pastor, if you're listening. We're our own worst enemy. And Paul says that in Romans 7, doesn't he? The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. It's part of the human condition. None of us are perfected beyond the limitations of our humanity, and we all have areas in our lives that we need to stretch and can grow, for sure. But knowing where to focus and how to focus our lives in a way that honors Christ is a part of this whole thing of what we call living intentionally in life. It really is. Okay, let's go to the calls here. Alana's on the line in Tennessee. Hi, Alana.
Hi, Randy.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
what is it that you self-sabotage?
Marijuana. It's been in my life since I was 19. I was a college athlete and I played soccer. And it got introduced to me with some teammates, and someone who didn't play sports brought it into our little circle of friends. And ever since then, I'll be 30 this year. I haven't turned away from it. And a lot of things have happened, you know, throughout the course of those years that, you know, marijuana has been the cause of that problem, whether it's been losing a job, not being able to complete tasks well, friendships, parental relationships, and above all, my relationship with God. So just recently I lost my job over something incredibly silly, but the root of it was the fact that I couldn't pass a drug test. And so, you know, I have a 10-month-old, and now I have no job, and it's just, why have I done this to myself?
Well, Alana, can be a vicious cycle, and you can beat yourself up and go round and round a circle. Obviously, I would encourage you to find some treatment and some help for yourself. I'd be interested in knowing, with all the debate on marijuana in our country today, with states that are legalizing it for either medicinal purposes or for recreational purposes, how do you respond when you hear that?
You know, there is a fine line. I truly believe that, because I've seen it help people. I really have, cancer patients, you know, people who really need it. I truly believe God put it here for a purpose, but we abuse that purpose. Just like we do many things. And you know, so I think we've just blown it up to be not this big deal. But at the end of the day, you know, it clouds us. It takes away our awareness. It takes us to a different place rather than being in the presence of God. Like, no matter how hard I tried to be, you know, to smoke a bowl and then go into prayer or read my Bible, it never reaches me the same as it does when I'm just clean and I'm sober. And, you know, it's like I said, there's just that fine line. But
well, Alana, I know it's a national debate, and but what we also know is that, in like in your case, you're an individual, and for you, this has been something that, if I hear you right, you wish had never come into your life.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I probably would have played my full 4 years of college soccer. I probably would have I have a master's degree in outdoor education. I'm not someone who's, you know, like that, you know what they say, like, I'm not some lazy stoner, you know. It's just been a lifestyle. It's been just something in my life, like smoking cigarettes and alcohol is to other people, you know. Like, it's just been a relaxation thing for me. But at the same time, it's in my system. I'm in a state where it's illegal, and I sabotage myself daily. Even though there may not be any repercussion immediately, but obviously, you know, months down the road, something like what I just recently went through, a simple injury, workman's comp, you got to get drug tested, and I had to say, I can't do this because I'm going to fail. And therefore, I fail my family, I fail my daughter, and I fail myself. And
well, Alana, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it's a family issue right now, because her father and I, my daughter's father, you know, her father and I, we're trying to work on our relationship, and, you know, he's big into it as well, and it's something that we have got to cut out of our lives, because it's harmful. It is. It's harmful, bottom line. Just as much as drinking a 12-pack a day is harmful, it's, you know...
Well, Alana, I believe that God is a God of healing and restoration, and I believe you can be freed from this stuff in your life. It's going to take some work, take a lot of prayer, it may take some therapy and some help to get through the process. I just want to make a couple statements. There's a biblical perspective on this, and there's also a process of how we develop bad habits in life. And I know in the case of an addiction where there can be a change in brain chemistry and so on, and I don't want to debate all that because I know people would love to debate how that impacts on these different substances. But the reality is this: when the craving that we have for anything in life is stronger than the craving we have to please Christ, We will always go to our own craving, period, bottom line. And from a spiritual perspective, I think of the verse, Alana, that is in the book of James, where James says, each one is tempted when by his own desire, that's really what we're talking about, our own desire, our own craving, we're dragged away by the desire and enticed, which is external to us. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. And so there's a cycle that we see in habit formation, as well as just the decisions we make in life, that come back to one thing. Without a craving, we don't get a habit for anything. A craving is what drives it. A craving. You know, I don't crave broccoli, but I can crave chocolate, see? And there's a desire and a craving, and when we as Christians, it could be with food, it could be with recreation, it could be with anything, when the craving for that thing is bigger than a craving to please Christ, that's the beginning of going the wrong direction. In addition to that, when we have an issue, I think that God has equipped people to help us. That's why there are programs available, counselors available, and I would encourage you, Alana, to find someone for that purpose.
But, I am in an amazing church here. I've been in it all my life. You've probably heard of them, Pastor Ron Phillips. Abba's House used to be called Central Baptist, but I mean it's an amazing church. And last night was the switch finally flipped, and it all just came clear to me. And I'm free. I can feel it.
That's great.
I feel the freedom and. And I wanted to call because it has been such a sabotage in my life, and to feel free from that bondage is just makes me know that much more that Christ is so real, and he wants us so badly to lean on him in everything and to be our full potential, because that's what marijuana was doing. It was keeping me from my full potential. And, you know, I hope anybody hearing this right now is just thinking about, you know, am I keeping myself from my full potential?
Yeah, whatever it is. Can I pray with you and for you, Alana, that this will be the first step into becoming fully sober from this and clean, and that you can, your mind and heart can be clean, your mind and your actions, so you can live a life free of relying on anything other than God. Father, I do pray for Alana, this young woman. She's been just very articulate in sharing what this one substance, marijuana, has done in her life and how it's affected her. I pray that as you've revealed yourself to her even the last couple days here, and she's begun this new process, this intentional step to be clean, that you'll give her freedom from this, give her freedom to find the desires of her heart, which is to be clean from this and to be able to focus on being a mom and growing in you and prayer and growing in her relationship with you. We pray for freedom for Alana today and for everyone that's listening on whatever the issue may be, that they will experience freedom as their craving for you is stronger than their craving for that thing. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Alana, thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be, as we think of you, praying for you for freedom, okay? Come join us. What is it that you find yourself getting trapped with or shooting yourself in the foot? Self-sabotage. 888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. If you're stuck in that two steps forward, one step back dance, Dr. Randy's got more to help you move forward in your life. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Do you ever feel like all hope is lost? Maybe it's bad news from the doctor, a relationship issue, or just a bad day. In part one of Dr. Randy's message, How to Experience Hope, he gives you four ways the Bible says we can experience hope. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. And when you give right now, we're offering you a copy of the book, Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. To receive this month's special offer and the book, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Stop telling yourself this lie in your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. This is a very damaging lie that we tend to tell ourselves at certain times throughout our lifetime. And here it is. Nothing will ever change. You know, when we tell ourselves nothing will ever change, it robs God of His rightful place in our life. It limits God. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's a powerful verse. It's a beautiful verse, and it's a promise. So if you're feeling stuck today, maybe you're feeling stuck in your finances and your work and your marriage, and you just keep praying that things will change and nothing's changing, and you're about ready to give up, one more day. Keep trusting Him today. That's intentional living.
Find out more about freedom from hijacked emotions at theintentionallife.com/book.
You know, the Intentional Living Minute that you just heard sort of fits beautifully into the topic today about self-sabotage, the things that we tell ourselves that really aren't the truth. Satan lives in lies, not truth. He loves lies because lies are confusing, they're hurtful, they're divisive, they divide people and relationships, and we want to live in the truth. That's where God intends for us to be. I haven't mentioned in a while, but if you would like to receive my daily intentional living encouragement, our Intentional Living Minute, we can send it automatically right to you every day. And you can sign up for it today. We'd love to start sending it to you right away, even starting today. And to do that, all you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com/minute. And there'll be information there on how you can sign up for the Intentional Living Minute. Can I encourage you? One of the things you can do to have a ministry that'll be helpful to us and helpful to others is when you hear one of the programs or you get one of the Intentional Living Minutes that you know is right on a topic that someone you love could relate to, share it with them. Send it to them. That's a multiplying effect, allowing this ministry to go out even further when you do that. So we'd appreciate it. Again, go to theintentionallife.com/minute and sign up for the Intentional Living Minute today.
I constantly expect more from my siblings than she can offer and my family in general. I've always had this idealistic family view. I come from a broken family and a dysfunctional family, and I'm the one who, like, whenever things were going wrong in our family, I tried to be the clown and try and say, look at me, don't argue. My sister, I really would like to be a friend to her. I would like support from her, and she just is not capable of that, and we're black and white as far as our morality, as far as our worldview, everything. And I think that if I would let go of the expectations of my family, let them be who they are and not what I think they should be to meet my needs, that would probably help a lot.
Good insight. Thank you. Let's go to Brandon on the line in Michigan. Brandon, welcome.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right.
All right, we're talking about self-sabotage. What is it in your life?
Yeah, well, for me, it's been going on for about like 7-8 years. It mostly deals with conflicting worldviews. For me, I grew up in a church back home, and when I went to college 4 years later, basically they taught a different thing, they believe a different thing. And the thing for me is I'm at like at a crossroads because I'm stuck, because like at home I could see like people's lives being changed, and in college I could also see lives being changed all the time. So like I basically am at a standstill because even like my wife's family believes something different than what I do. So I'm just like stuck. I feel like I haven't like progressed in my faith in like years, it feels.
Mm-hmm. Well, as part of it, well, you're very honest, Brandon. That's good. Is part of it been that you have, when you think about it, your faith has really been really not built from the inside out, but the outside in. In other words, what you've seen from others is external, as we might refer to, locus of control. There's other things outside of you versus coming from deep inside of you.
I mean, kind of. Like growing up, I always had a strong faith, I felt, and then like maybe there was a point where like I started to question a little bit because I wanted to know more. Then when I got to college, they taught something else. I'm like, oh well, I'll look into this. But then when I would like butt head with my teachers, and it was no fun for me. So I'm just stuck.
Yeah. Stuck. Are you stuck at the level of your belief, or are you stuck at the level of thriving, of growing?
Probably thriving and growing. I mean, I know that Jesus Christ, you know, my Lord and Savior, and that he came to save us all. Like, that's foundational. But like, I'm just stuck getting past any of that. Mm-hmm. Anything else.
Is it because you start to grow and then you have these conflicting voices talking to you about in your mind about what's true and not true and that kind of thing, or you just have other priorities?
Yeah. No, I think that's like a majority of it. I don't want to feel like I'm like the lone man, because like in my family, I feel like if I change my views, they're going to think differently of me. And same thing on my wife's side. Like, I love my family, I love their family, but I feel like I can't quite meet up with them on the level of their spiritual, like,
well,
area where they're at.
Brandon, you're a very honest young man, and I respect that. We have a lot of conflicting messages in the world in which we live today, and young people, if we're not grounded deeply, and that's one of the concerns, I'll be very candid. One of the concerns I have about Western Christianity today and American Christianity is we spend so much time, even in many of our churches, tickling the ears of our young people and trying to keep them involved, just keep them there, that we don't go deep enough to teach. And the Scripture tells us that we should be ready to give an account for our faith at any time. And I think unless we get deeper in understanding our faith, understanding what the Scripture teaches, and spending time with God, not only intellectually, but allowing the Holy Spirit to minister in our life, we're going to get stuck, because the world is a very noisy place. You know, and the Scripture tells us, Brandon, that if we seek for Him with all of our heart, we'll find Him. And I think that that's not only in salvation, but in our spiritual growth. And I would encourage you, despite your feelings, that you begin an intentional decision every day to spend time in Scripture, spend time in prayer, in quietness, to read some good books, books that can encourage you in your faith walk. Books from people like John Piper has some great things that he's written. And there are many others that I respect who have written much that'll help you think and so on. But you're going to grow to the extent that, like using the analogy of thriving, to the extent that you water the roots. And it's a very practical thing you do in prayer and in time with the Lord and so on. The second thing, just an observation, Brandon, I've only met you here for 5 minutes, but the observation is there was a lot of reference to other people and what they think of you and what others have said. I think it's time for you to say, hey, this is what I believe. Articulate it. Write it down. Hang on to it. And frankly, don't be concerned what others believe or what they think of you. Be concerned about what you believe, why you believe it, know why you believe it, and then start living it intentionally.
Yeah.
That's the key. Can I pray with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my friend, listen, and you keep listening. I know that as you listen to the radio there in Michigan, it'll be encouragement to you as well. Father, I pray for this young man. Lord, make yourself increasingly real in his life through the power of your Holy Spirit, that as this young man is at the fork in the road and he's making a decision, you know, how he's going to live, that he'll choose to thrive intentionally by going deeper in his relationship with you, setting goals of spiritual growth and development and spending time with you. And we thank you for his honesty today. Pray you'll bless him right there in Michigan. In Christ's name, amen. Romans 4:18. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Here's the point. Hope against hope. Did you know that that little phrase, hope against hope, was first heard back in the 1800s, and it was by a person who had been reading from that verse I just read from Romans chapter 4. hope against hope. In many ways, you've got to think about, I mean, be Abraham for a moment. You're this old man with this old wife, and God's saying you're going to be the father of many nations, and your hope has been deferred a long time, and you're thinking, wait a minute, that's hope against hope, right?
You know what it really is? It's expecting a miracle. You know, God, he's still in the miracle business. Some of you have experienced that in your life. You just know it was a God thing, and that's really what hope against hope can be for many of us. This lesson this month and next month is focusing on these top 10 of how to experience hope. We know we can. We know the Bible teaches about hope, but how do we experience it? Like I've said, and I say it in the lesson, hope is limitless. I mean, God's intentional hope for us, his intentional love, is very clear. I mean, we may feel hopeless, but the hope is real. If you're a follower of Christ, we know that our future is guaranteed. We know our destination, but that doesn't mean you experience it. And so while hope is assured, the experience of hope can be an illusion to many people or an optional kind of thing or a decision that they have to be made in their lives. And God gives us in his word, and I did the research here and found these top 10 ways for us to really experience the hope of God in our life. And so that's the lesson this month, and I hope it's an encouragement to those of you who are part of our Intentional Living community. And if you're not, come join us. We'll make sure you receive it, both video and audio. We'll send it to your email box with your monthly support. Listen, whatever that is, if you can join us with a dollar a day, four quarters a day, $30 a month, going to go a long ways to impact people. And I told the team I want to do something special this month, and I handpicked a classic that I have right here in my bookshelf behind me from Henry Blackaby called Experience God. It's a very powerful, biblically-based, practical book on how to experience God. That'll be coming to you as you join us in monthly support, and we'll also make sure you start receiving the monthly teaching from Intentional Living. And this month, of course, it's on this topic we talked about, Experiencing Hope, Part 1. Next month, Experiencing Hope, Part 2. So how do you do this? Give us a call during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717 and press number 2. That's 888-888-1717. Press number 2 to take you to our team. That'll take your calls. Or anytime, 24 hours a day, safe and securely online. You can check in and say, hey, I want to be a part of the ministry and support the ministry. And hey, send me that book by Henry Blackaby and the teaching from the masterclass here at Intentional Living. Go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Theintentionallife.com. We appreciate it. Tomorrow, we're going to focus on single parents. Hey, listen, God bless you. If you're a single mom or dad, you know the challenge, you're experiencing it. And we want you to not only experience hope, we want to experience help. And we're going to give you some of both tomorrow on Intentional Living. Hope you'll join me.